coach statistically, points for, total offense, and all that. It's got numbers for a 4-3 or a winning team. How do you explain 2-5?
Well, if you want to look at the statistics, look at turnovers. And that's, I think there's only one team that has more than us. So if you want to look at statistics, I think you need to look no further.
Are you surprised how much the Broncos have changed their defensive approach since the AFC Championship game with obviously cutting back all the blitzing?
No, I mean, I think that, you know, certainly you look at them and a lot of the faces haven't changed, but, you know, they're playing really well. And, you know, they're winning football games. I mean, you got to give them credit to that. And they got really good athletes, linebackers that can run a very active front four, and certainly a really solid secondary. So, you know, I think they're sitting here at 5-2, and you know, they're playing very well right now.
Coach, I'm sure you deal with this all the time, and you know, you had to answer questions about Ben last week, but how do you deal with, you know, players who you don't know if they're 100%, but you know they want to play, they're not going to tell you they're not, you know, 100%. How do you deal with that during the week, deciding whether they're going to play or not?
Well, first of all, I think number one is they have to be cleared medically. I think that's first and foremost. I think once players are cleared medically, then it comes down to the player himself and you know, where they are mentally and how they feel and what effect it can have on their play. So I think those are the calls that every coach makes, not just with, you know, obviously the focus was on our quarterback, but that's true with any position. So, you know, first and foremost, it's the medical people that have to give you clearance and give clearance to that player to be able to play. And from there, it becomes the coach's call and to a large extent, the player's call.
Do you trust the players when they tell you they're 100%? You know they're not going to tell you otherwise.
No, I mean, I think, you know, certainly you get to know players through time. And I think obviously the other thing that takes place is you see how they, you know, how they practice, you know, what limitations they may or may not have. So, I mean, there's a lot of things that go into it. And like I said, you know, a player can be cleared medically, but if he is limited in some skill level, then certainly you have to make that call as a coach.
You've obviously watched this Broncos team over the years. When you watched on film the Mike Bell performance, is this basically the same movie, just a sequel? Or did he do something a little bit different you haven't seen from a Broncos back?
Well, I mean, you know, you go back to Terrell Davis and now Mike Bell and, you know, Tatum Bell. I think that, you know, these are good backs, and I don't want to, you know, just, you know, say that you can put anybody in there, because certainly these guys deserve that the credit for what they're doing. But, you know, Mike Shanahan is one of the best offensive, you know, coordinators in the league, and there's no question about that. He's proven that year in, year out. And, you know, I think that, you know, their offensive line is a very solid one, and their scheme is one that, you know, they've been doing it for years, and they're very good at it, and they get the right type of players that fit what they're looking for, and, you know, that's to their credit, and also to the players' credit that they've been able to take advantage of those opportunities.
What do you think, Coach, why do you think Ben is struggling right now?
Oh, it's hard to say. You know, it's like I said. I mean, you know, we thought we had gotten over to. He played two really good games against Kansas City and Atlanta, and we just came back last week, and we had a tip ball and a couple of bad decisions, and you know, it's just there's just some inconsistencies there. We haven't performed very consistent on the offensive line. I think that adds to it as well. So, you know, I just think there's been a number of issues, and then certainly we've lost some close football games that, you know, when you lose, a lot of things get scrutinized. So, like I said, I think there's just a lot of issues that are there, and the answer to a lot of it is just to try to find a way to win a game.
You look at these elite safeties, Dawkins, Reed, and your guy. How much are they getting in the head of quarterbacks and offensive coordinators during the game just because of their sheer versatility?
Well, I think certainly from a, I would think from an offensive standpoint, you have to count for players who, you know, who can have an impact in the game. Just, I look at it from our standpoint, you know, when you have a play against a guy like Champ Bailey, I mean, you know, just treating Champ like any other corner. So, I mean, I think that any defensive player who has that type of presence on the field, that as a coordinator, you're going to do things to account for that guy. And I think within that scheme, I mean, I think the quarterbacks are going to be aware of what you're training them to do through the course of the week. And then you got to trust the system. I think it really comes down to that. So I'm sure there's going to be an awareness of, you know, of, of a guy like Troy and where he's at and things that, you know, that we've done with him. And at the same time, they're still going to run their offense. I mean, because they've been very productive at doing it, and you know, regardless of who they've played.
Coach, obviously what Willie Parker's been able to do from where he came from, obviously a success story. What did you see initially out of him that you that really caught your eye? And is he any different now, a couple of years after coming into your system, in terms of his style or anything? Or how has he progressed?
Well, yeah, I got to give a lot of credit to Dan Rooney, one of our scouts, who actually brought him into camp. He was not a player that was played very much at North Carolina. He was more of a backup, and we signed him as a free agent. And once you got him in camp, I think the first thing that certainly stood out was his speed, his ability to hit a corner and be able to pull away from people and just give the big play potential he gave you. And I think that through the time of him being here, being in his third year, I mean, the one thing that he has become better at is being more patient runner, a better inside runner. I think when we first got the ball, he kind of headed right to the corner. And now he's been able to, I think, obviously being in the same system, I mean, be able to understand running plays, the design of plays, and still, you know, just becoming a more patient runner. And I think that's the thing that I've seen in him. He's grown tremendously, I think, this year from last year, and then obviously last year from the first year. So he's a young player, and I think he'll just do nothing but get better.
Can you discuss Troy's evolution and how much his mental approach to the game has helped his play?
Well, I think the number one, I mean, he's such a cerebral player. He's got a great feel for the game, great instincts, and you couple that with his explosion. I mean, he's a guy who can go from point A to point B very quickly, and you know, not just supporting a run or blitzing, but even from a coverage standpoint. So, you know, I just think the bottom line with him, again, you know, is the fact that he has been in this system. He understands where everybody else is, and at the same time, then that allows him, you know, to play very fast, to be very decisive. And I think that, again, that's been a product of being in this system. And we've tried to utilize those skills as such.
The fact you moved up to draft him, a reflection of the changing NFL in terms of multiple sets and rules restrictions?
Yeah, I think also because of the tight end position. I think the tight end position has been one that has probably evolved as much as any, I think, as I've seen it in recent years. And it just seems like everyone's got that, that Allgeier Crumpler or Gates or, you know, I think I see a little bit of Scheffler and some of those. These are guys, big guys who can run, and they have receiver type skills, and yet they got the size of, you know, the body types that, you know, that make them, you know, tough matchups at times. So, you know, I mean, we got Winslow in our division too, Todd Heap. Those are two pretty good tight ends, and like I said, Gonzalez was probably the first one to kind of set the mold. And even going back to Shannon Sharp, I mean, he was another guy that was in that kind of that type of player. So I think that is what's created the need to get a safety who's not just a box safety or not just a cover safety. They got to have the ability to do both, and they're not easy to find.
Coach, I'm sure you've heard the term Super Bowl hangover. I mean, do you believe in that, or is that just a convenient way to a term to put somebody who doesn't have success the year after the Super Bowl?
Well, I mean, I don't know. Have I heard it? I've been hearing it for about the last 3 or 4 weeks, and I don't know. I think, again, that's all speculation. I think that's a very general term, and it's obviously a term that gets thrown at you when you're not having success. So, you know, I know that we've had a lot of close games, that we've had opportunities to win, but we just haven't done the things that it takes. Like I said, whether it be turning it over, not making key plays on third down, or coming up with big plays in the special teams. I mean, those are things that are real, that are concrete, and that's what my focus is on, not really relative to last year and what effect that has on this year. I mean, I think the answers to a lot of those questions are in the facts, and the facts, like I said before, is that, you know, we have 18 turnovers in 7 games, and I know a year ago we had 23 for the season. So, you know, I think that a lot of the answers to some of those questions lie in those stats right there.
Bill, do you think the speculation on your futures had any effect on the team?
I really don't. I mean, I you're asking me, I can't answer that question, and I don't think it has. I don't think it's something that we're thinking about when it's 3rd and 7 or something that our quarterback's thinking about when he's dropping back in the pocket. I mean, I really don't believe that to be the case. But, you know, I think what happens is when you lose, and A lot of things get, as I said before, get scrutinized, and then with the scrutinization and the people searching for answers, it becomes a lot of speculation. And I think that's what the result of losing becomes is all this speculation.